So let's begin page Kuf Pei Vav. Okay. The Baldino Alam, Bene Yochel Ahotzi, page Kuf Pei Zayin. That's quick. The Men of the Dine, well, it's for Enu, Tchila Levi Dayone, Rose and Lomo, not the Rest of the Masters Shalom, the Baldino Levi Dayone, Toyo. You guys spoke about this before. How is it possible? How can you do it? Okay? How can you do it? What's the hetter for it? So we explained, if you recall, that two explanations. One was a longish explanation, that in effect, what the court tells you is if they're the agents of the best, even though it's not literal. I say much the best, and show you Israel tell you to do it, and then Mishnah Kitten. Or the much more prosaic answer, that the whole violation is Miyak Hashem Alilim. You choose to go to a secular court. You didn't choose. The guy refused to come to Bezdin. Well, you have no alternative. Get your money back. You didn't choose. I somebody asked me a question, but they have Dashina Tam of the Krup. I gave you my answer, Dashina Tam of the Krush. Fine. Post can call the Rambam. Let me tell you another set I'm using here, which comes from our Bezdin room, I believe, is where it comes from. Yes. Called Seder Hadin. Nice, big book. Seder Hadin. It's a fairly recent work. It was printed Tov Shin Ayin, 5 years ago, by someone in the Talmud Chacham I never heard of before. Haskamas to Rabbi Sternbuch, Rabbi Scheinberg, and many other wonderful Dayanim, Rav Shafran, Rav Goldberg, Rav Rosenberg, Rav Nussbaum, the famous crackerjack Dayanim. Rabbi Fleischman, who was an American from Washington Heights, whom I know personally. They were beautiful things about him. So I never met him, but obviously he's a top man. So he has a long, long piece about this issue. And if those want to look it up later on, I can, you know, tomorrow or something like that, I'll make them leave it. Well, then it comes to the Bezdin, and I can't. It's not my personal property. It wants to be Bezdin. But what I'm discussing now over here, we'll begin. It's an entire chapter. It's entitled Pnia L'Arkos, going to secular court. This is 15th chapter. Begins on page Tuf Mem Tes. Just to give you an idea of how far it goes. Goes all the way until, we're not going to discuss the whole chapter, but just to give you an idea, until Tuf Kuf Ches. Oh, that's, what's that? 60 pages. That's a lot of pages. We're not going to discuss many parts of it, but many parts we will be discussing. I'll give you page numbers so you can look things up at your convenience, okay? Good. So, he writes over here, you're not allowed to go to a secular court. Went through the whole discussion. I'm not going to repeat everything we said until now. What about the following situation, which is a bit of a chiddush? Look, it's clear to me that you owe me the money. It's clear to me. Only thing is, I lack requisite proof on the standard of Bezdin Shel Yisrael. Bezdin Shel Yisrael doesn't only determine facts. They have certain requirements of proof. And the proof that I have doesn't meet that requirement. But I know if I go to secular court, it works. Circumstantial evidence. Okay? The Goyishu court will take it, the Bezdin won't. I know that the money is owed to me. Quoted from Shuvas or Rambam. Another example, Rambam is a bad example. You have two witnesses. Two. One problem. They're not Jewish. Bezdin won't accept it. Secular court will accept it. No, it's an Aveira to go to a secular court. Even in that case, you know for sure you're right. You have two witnesses. They just happen not to be Jewish. You may not go to a secular court, even in such a case. So right, the Rambam and the Tshuva. It was as follows. This care is very, very important. Someone hit me. They hit me. They go to the second of the court, write the Rama. No. 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 Except unless a guy hits me. Right? Bishas Zama. While he's hitting me, ask police, 911. That's no problem. Of course you can call 911. I was the second of the court, and I'm in the jail. The second, too bad, it shouldn't hit me. Someone's hitting me, I'm allowed to call 911. He was going to end up in the second of the court, maybe even in the jail. Doesn't matter. Oh, that comes to one of the biggest controversies. What about a Jewish court that rules according to secular law? This is primarily an issue in which country? Israel. So the Chazon Ish, who lived at the time of the founding of the Jewish state, was extraordinarily upset by the fact that the Jewish courts in the state of Israel, they were following secular law. Now I'll do it. Chazon Ish is not only in violation of our cause, shall goyim or not goyim, it's worse. Worse. Better go to a second. You have two choices. Go to a Goyish court or to a Jewish court that rules with secular law. Better go to the Goyish court. Huh? How can that be? Yeah. Because the Goyish court, they're not doing anything wrong. This is worse. Worse. I quote the Chazon Ish. Hadaba Yosef Maguna. To go to a Jewish court that uses secular law. What's his language? Shehemiru es mishpatei haTorah al mishpatei haHevel. They traded in the Torah's laws for the silly laws. Either people agree to it. The agreement is nothing. If you force somebody there and you win, you're a thief, and you are meiru miyad b'Torah's Moshe. That's the phrase we saw earlier. Remember we saw it in the Torah? This page we just saw. The first line, page could pay up. Meirim. Heirim Yodah B'Torah's Moshe. That's the Rambam's phrase for a Goyish court. The Chazon Ish applies that same phrase with respect to a Jewish court which rules according to secular law. That's what he says. Something fascinating over here. This is not the Chazon Ish. This is Rabbi himself, author of a Seder. I'm going to read it to you. U'mashemuchrochim lachtom b'chozim shonim. People are forced to sign on certain contracts. Shekol sichsuch yuchra bebeis mishpat. That any dispute be resolved in secular law, secular court in Israel. Hagam she'ein isur be'etzem achas yenekom over ribis. Gentlemen, if you sign a document, you're going to pay ribis. You borrowed 100, you're going to give back 110. Even if you never get back the money, the signing itself is a violation. Here it does not apply. This sign is not a violation. Because it's only the prohibition when you actually go to the secular court. It's a chilul Hashem to sign such a piece of paper. Omnom, he adds, kishamuchrach lekach, I'm buying and selling and dealing, you know, all kinds of people, all kinds of financial interactions with people who are not from in Israel. And he says, we're going to secular court. Ain kan chilu, not chilu Hashem on my part. She'ain chosim kach, elim chosim bread. I'm only signing because I have no alternative. He won't do it otherwise. Of course, there is an alternative. Don't buy the house. Don't sell the house. You can't do any business in all Israel because most people in Israel are not from. They want to go to the secular court. It's going to be impoverished. That's what it means, presumably. Catch this next paragraph. Yesh la'ayin. Bofanim shebez din dosim reshus lelechas la'arkos. You ready? We saw it in Torah, Rambam. Let's say, I'm in New York, and Reuven owes me money. send him a hazmana, a summons, three summonses, come to Bezin. He says, I'm not going. I'm allowed to take him to the New York State Court, right? That's what we saw. What do you do in Israel? He refuses to come. How can I take him to the court in Israel? It's Lifnaiver. I'm causing the judges to rule based on secular law, which is not to do. Yeah?
Why? Meaning if the business being Hatcher at a cost, so the Hatcher at a cost should also depend on the giant. If you take him to secular courts, you can't say take you to secular court unless the secular court does the Torah.
I understand what you're saying, but the question is then how do you do it? I'm just reading with words. That's his question. He doesn't even answer. I'll give you my answer. Okay? Just imagine the following scenario. A guy is coming to steal my car. Motor was running, he's going to steal my car. So I stand in his way to stop him. What's he going to do? He's going to hit me. If he hits me, he's an aveir. I'm allowed to protect my property. I'm allowed to protect my own property. This guy's going to hit me. It's a truck. That's not the thing. Guy comes, he says, here. He goes with us, huh? Give me the $5 or I'm going to hit you. I'd give him $5 and she would lift the evening and hit me. No such thing. And over here, that's why I think it's not lift the evening. That's what I thought. Okay. Rabbi, a guy, listen carefully, takes someone else to secular court. I want to know. Is he possible li'edus? He called 2 aides at my wedding, Pliny Almighty, well, he took some secular court. Yeah. Oh, the answer is the Gemara has a buffer Messiah. The person doesn't know that it's prohibited, he doesn't become possible li'edus. I'm going to say something unbelievable in the Shulchan Aruch. You all have Shulchan Aruch, yeah? And I'll say it about Pep. You look it up tomorrow. One of the people that I assigned you in the Shulchan Aruch said, like, Kesef HaKadosh, like you saw it. You see it? Every Shulchan Aruch has it. The standard Shulchan Aruch have it on the bottom, fancy ones have it in the back. Kovetz Chibur, written by the Buchacha Rav, the same one wrote the Eshel Avram on Arachai. He's a famous rabbi. He says something unbelievable. He says, somebody takes somebody else to a secular court. There are those who say, can I count them to a minion? You know why? He left the fold. He suggests, I mean, this sounds unbelievable, and he passes this way, that the fellow has left the fold. It's Abizrayu Davodazora. Why? Rashi says in Mishpatim. We saw it in the Torah. We just saw it a second ago. What happens? What does he do? A guy goes to secular court. First line, not here. Miyake Shem Elilim. He is adding luster to the name of the idol worshippers, of the idols, and therefore he's left the fold. He's going to carry that capital to the dominion. Literally. Some say he cannot serve as a chazan. Yeah, I'm not kidding around. I both said, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is about to come, it's upon us. What do we do Rosh Hashanah? We have to pick a proper chazan. Okay, let's take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not in the Maror Makomos, I have to show it to you here. Why is it? Should I be here? Yeah. Kon Pei Beis. And I press the Mishnah Mishnebura. Simon Nun Gimel. Where? No.
Where do you want it?
Simon Nun Gimel.
Sorry. Okay. Mishnah Berurah, yeah?
Yeah, Mishnah Berurah.
Okay. Okay, for whatever reason.
The Mishnah Berurah apparently has become copyrighted.
Censored.
That's it? This year, no Mishnah Berurah this year?
No, just today.
Just today?
I think it's like...
Labor Day. No Mishnah Berurah, Labor Day. Well, look, let's see. Not only that, but if you threatened to take someone to secular court, that made it possible even before you did it. The threat made possible. Not only that, but we know that some individuals become posuliatus, but if it's a derabbanan, only if you have to, we call it hachroza. Hachroza means you have to publicize it. If it's not known, he's kosheliatus. Those who were following the unfortunate events in Washington, D.C., that were discovered a little under a year ago, not going into detail of something, you probably know what I mean. There was a question of certain conversions that were done by this individual. As I said, I did such terrible things. So one of the things we hang our hat on was that what he did was what's called Apostle of the Rabbanon, and they have to have achraza. So there's no achraza. No one knew about it until the last Sukkos. So therefore, we've been ruling that the previous conversions were valid. It's a question. The guy goes to the second of the court. You mean achraza or not? The Pisket Shuvah and Simon Lamadal. I'm not going to go to it right now. But Moshe was asked the following question. Can a person work for the IRS? Lawyer, accountant, whatever you want. He's ratting out people. And Moshe says, yes. You're not over for the IRS. It's a job, and you do what you have to do. Yeah, it could be. Maybe the Israeli government and the American government. Maybe. The following shaila came up. Someone, a husband and wife are getting divorced, and the husband wanted to come to Beis Din, and the wife didn't want to come. She was going to secular court. So there was a discussion whether you allow the husband to remarry based on what we call a heter meir rabbonim. That means that in certain limited cases, you know, 100 rabbis can allow bigamy, halachic bigamy. So the tshuva of Moshe about it. He goes, Moshe, everyone has a chelek gimel simon chav tes. Seems to me, however, that just as we said before, that a person who goes to court doesn't know that it's prohibited, so too the woman, who knows typically less than men do, because she doesn't study so much Gemara, so she doesn't know that it's a prohibition to go to a secular court, and she's therefore she's making a mistake, and therefore it's not so easy to give her husband a head to mayor or bottom just like this. Now, next question. Am I going to be a lawyer here? Yeah,
of course. Would that apply even if you tell her?
Who are you to tell me? I know better. We'll see. Depends on who she is. Am I going to be a lawyer? Any friends with lawyers? Parents? Brothers? Cousins? Yeah? If Vadi has a chew and you have a das, are you a lawyer? You take things into a second of court. You belong in a bez. So if Vadi writes in a chew, and you have a das, chelik dalet, simen samachay, if you represent this fellow in court, you are Messiah, is a Obria Vera. You should take people and have to go to Beis Din. It seems to me that's all true if all the parties are firm. You should try to go to Beis Din. But if one party's not firm, then it's basically a lost cause. Then maybe you're not considered to be a Messiah Obria Vera because they're in Shach, right in Yerodea. Lifnei either, it's not. Lifnei even made David, you might do this. No, you can do without you. And Messiah does not apply according to many if someone is not from, because He's a from Jew, and that wouldn't apply to a non from Jew. Unfortunately, in the real world, even from Jews go to second of the court when they shouldn't. A great story. After this one story, Labor Day story. The story happened, not sure how many years ago. I have a simon, but here it is. The simon is an unbelievable simon. Now, Rav Shechta Shlita, for many years, was clean shaven. I don't think any of you remember that. It was too far back. If you look at the old pictures, you'll see he was clean shaven for many years. And it was just around the time he decided to grow a beard, but it hadn't happened. It was just. I got a phone call in Camp Marashah that I was asked to serve in a Bezdin. What kind of Bezdin? Before our Bezdin existed. Our Bezdin really always existed, but it was sort of revitalized, I would say, in 1997. This is earlier than this, more than 18 years ago. The priests are the best, well, who's involved? To the Baba Shah Hasidim. I said, what do you mean for Gorba Shah? Doesn't have a beard. Chabad, no beard. Like. I said, maybe he was growing, not growing. So anyway, they picked on me. Unbelievable in Torah. How they come to the table? What happened? There were two Lubavitches. What's a big fight about real estate in Crown Heights. Okay? Many buildings were involved. So, there were two different courts. One building was in this, one was in that. One of the judges who was dealing one of the cases, a man named Judge Khan, Shalita, who lives in Washington Heights, and Herman Khan, they see two guys with beards coming to his bench. What are you doing here? Go to Bezdin. What are you doing here? Go to Bezdin. We can't find the Bezdin. Blah, 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 blah. He gave him a ride. He said, go out of here. Go find the Bezdin. They couldn't find any Bezdin because the Bezdin of Crown Heights, there is a Bezdin, but one of them felt that the Bezdin was prejudiced against them. Da 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 da. So each one picked what they called a Zablo. So one of them picked a judge from Crown Heights. The other one picked a Lubavitcher who lived in Toronto. This is a shochet from Toronto. I'm not remembering right now the name of the judge from Crown Heights. I don't think I can recall it. This happened so long ago. Fine. And I was the third judge. No choice. I still remember this Rabbi Shochet walked into the. This is my shul, this proceeding. He walked in and said, you know somebody's swarm here? I have all this swarm in my pocket. I was in Bar Ilan when it was first becoming popular. He had a Bar Ilan with him. I have 10,000 swarm. I'm walking in. That was part of his banter. And he walked in. That's been 20 years ago, I'm guessing, somewhere. Maybe more. Look at the picture of a Shechter when he grew a beard. It was just before he grew a beard. That's why I know it's a good question. Good. Sit down. And before, as I told you earlier, for me, before you have any proceeding, you have to start a shabby room. Right? What are we arguing about? I'm just what's called the shulch. I'm the neutral judge. I'm sitting in the middle, each one's on my side, and the litigants are opposite me. And then it's happening in my shul in the basement, And then it's what they call the social room. So one guy says, we're fighting about five buildings in Crown Heights. He gives you the address. The guy says, no. This proceeding is only about two buildings. Why two buildings? Well, these two buildings, we went in front of Judge Khan. Judge Khan sent us out to the Bezdin. So these two buildings, this panel has to decide about. The other three is in a different court. He didn't throw us out. So they ensued a tremendous shouting match. It went on for, I think, more than half an hour. This one point. One guy saying, what do you mean? The judge threw us out of secular court, he means we should have all the cases to be heard by this best. I said, no. He threw us out of these two houses. These houses are screaming, yelling, after half an hour. Maybe more. They couldn't agree. So we never stopped the Shtar Birurim. sent him home. Came after an hour. I asked, what happened? There's good news and bad news. Good news is, I'm finished with this case. The bad news is, I never started. But they wouldn't sign the Shtabi Ruin. But they wanted to own 5 houses, they wanted to own 2 houses. I went, what happened with the Chana? What happened here? I don't know what happened. That's a story. You'll hear many stories from me over these months, you know, what happened in my history as a judge. I have a beard, if you're exposed. Anyway, that's what happened. Fine. Let us now go a little bit further and analyze. Yes?
You said that it's a problem for a Jewish court to judge secular law, but you've also said previously many times that you think it's okay for a Beis Din to judge secular law.
We're going to discuss that at great, great, great length, starting today, I hope, certainly this week, at great length. Secular law imposed by a judge on parties who do not subject themselves to part or total secular law, that's not allowed. We're going to discuss at great length if the parties agreed to have their dealings judged by secular law. Bez, not in support, Chasson. Bez, is that allowed? Not allowed. That's one of the biggest fights going on today in the rabbinical world. The two parties agree that they're going to have a particular relationship between them governed by secular law.
But according to you, even in Israel, there shouldn't be a problem. They agree.
I'm discussing if they don't agree. If they agree, Israel's no worse than America. Like, you're 100%, you're 1,000% right. We have to discuss that as we go. Okay. We spoke about this a little bit last week, if you recall, that there's a question. Listen carefully, please, to this question. Let's say the defendant refuses to show up. So the plaintiff, we saw in the Torah, goes to the secular court. Let's look at it one more time. Everyone has the Torah Beis Yosef. This is our main text now for this whole week. The Torah Beis Yosef. What does it say? Yitzv'enu t'chil l'dayona Yisrael. It's page Kuf, page Zayin on top. Ein wrote to Lovo. No tell Rishus be Bezdin umatla shalom be Baldino be Dayana Goy. But it's clear you have to have Rishus. Right, we discussed this a little bit last week that whether you have to have Rishus or not is not completely clear. The Rush quoted Rav Paltavi. I mean, remember, I think Moshe, you read this from me after, like, I couldn't read. You read this. Page Kuf Pei Vav in the Beis Yosef. He seems to indicate you don't even have to go to Bezdin at all. Just once he refuses to come to secular court. To Bezdin, just take him to secular court. We mentioned that the some poskim say it's a takana. We saw footnote number Zion, quotes in the Marashal, Yom Shel Shlomo. It's a takana. Okay? Oh. What happens if a person is willing to go to a Bezdin, but not the Bezdin that by strict law he is entitled to go to? We'll discuss in great details as we go further on which Bezdin, as a law Bezdin, a sitting Bezdin, in this place, in that place, in another place. Let's say he goes to a Bezdin but not the one that he's really supposed to be going to. What kind of status would that have? Okay, you with me so far? What kind of status would that have? So that's something I'm going to read to you. Trouble with the screen, so actually it's not trouble. The screen works, just the Mishnah Berurah doesn't work.
Yeah.
Mishnah Berurah works now?
No, that was the Shulchan Aruch. I was trying to get it through there.
Let's see if Chashan Mishpah works. Let's see if this works. Sivus, it's important to understand. The Sivus HaMishnah has Chidushin and Beurim. The Chidushin is very short. The Beurim are very long. Usually when we quote the Sivus, it means the Beurim. It's not specified otherwise. But once in a while, we're looking for the Chidushin. What happened? Chidushin. Whoa. Sorry about that. Okay. Look at this. Watch this. V'imtrotze l'tzayes din. Rak lifnei bez din acher. I feel it's a zutrimine. He's willing to go to a bezdin, but a smaller bezdin. All if they bezdin be ira cheres. You want to go to a bezdin in a different city. Sayis dina mikri, velo dainin le bedin alam, urim v'tumim. It's also divided into two. The urim, which is short, and the tumim, which is long. That safe I brought with me today. I want to show it to you. Urim v'tumim by Rabbi Yonasan Epshitz. Here's the urim, which is short, like the Chedushim, Tum, which is long, like the Biurim. So he says, you don't consider Tum an Alam. So when we don't consider Tum an Alam, you saw the Shulchan Aruch, so in the Torah, you can go to the secular court. If a guy is willing to go to any Bezin in the world, says the Chedush, Nesivus in the Chedushim, you can't give the plaintiff the right to go to a secular court. Interesting. Can you say that he is a Masarif? Not a total Masarif. The word Masarif is a refusnik. Is he a refusnik? Not a total refusnik. He's willing to go to a particular Bezdin. This Sefer is called Seder Hadin. Makes the following observation. He says like this. This is an important point. He says, Lo have sarvan b'chdei lahati lelechas larkos. But, says this man, Seder Adin, you can still call him a Sarvan. See what's going on? I put up big letters. Woo, he's a Masarif. You ever see these letters in the street? Ooh, he's a bum, won't come. That you're allowed to do. Our beds will never do that. We understand the Nesivus differently. The same way as you're not permitted to give him the other guy permission to go to a secular court, you can't call him a Masarif either. He's willing to go to a bed. Of course, in the wild west of what they did, but everyone agrees to what we think. And after all, this statement is written by an honest rabbi. Thinks you can't tell him to go to secular court, you can call him a Masarif. So, is that better or is that worse? What's better for the plaintiff? A piece of paper that you can go to secular court, or a piece of paper that the other guy's a bum? Depends on the circumstances. If you can win a secular court, it's probably better to have that piece of paper. If you can't, then the best thing is to get called a bum, is to put the pressure on. Yeah?
But if you can't go to the coast and you can't call him a Masarif, so then you can jump to Chaya Chalberia. Any Lover can say, I want to go to
Timbuktu.
Yeah.
So all the Mepharshim say Timbuktu as a joke. That we always just see just, a different coin. I want to go to Brooklyn, I want to go to the Bronx.
But then you change it so that the Lover always fix the question. And if you have a properly.
First of all, there is a principle in certain situations called the Tovech Holech Achara Nitba in certain cases. But Yosef is saying as follows. If we take the Nesivus the way we understand the Nesivus, not only can you not give him a heter our cause, you can't call him a bum, so every defendant in the world has the ultimate decision as to what court is going to be judged in. Maybe it's true.
I'm
sorry?
We're
going to be discussing at a great length in terms of which court has the right to choose. What Yosef is saying is that this Nesivus is right, and the way we interpret it is right, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove and everything's exhausted, the defendant has an advantage. Which is not so crazy. He's a defendant, he has the money. It's not crazy. That's how the Nesivus is interpreted by many. We'll come to it in great length.
What counts is you want to go to court or court Timbuktu?
No. Okay, so that's obviously a judgment call. I mean, the best is judgment. What happens if you know in advance he's not coming? You know in advance he's not coming. So the Kesef HaKadoshim, I told you I cited him before, printed on the bottom of your Shulchan Aruch, says, don't bother. Take him straight to secular court. With later authorities say, no. The minig is to take it first to the Torah, and if he doesn't want to come, then he gets permission, presumably, to take him to a secular court. But who can decide this idea? We discussed a little bit on Thursday. Do I need a bezdin in the defendant's city to allow me to go to a secular court? They say no. No. Any bezdin, that's my real disconcert. So it was shown afterwards on the screen. It's like Issa Veheter. It could be any bezdin. Some say even one rabbi. But we assume not a rabbi, but a bezdin. What if you know for a fact that you have your involved in a controversy with a governmental agency in Israel? The Jewish, they cannot come to bezdin. Impossible. By law, they have to go to secular court. It's pointless to charge giving sending them to the S and come to bezdin. It's pointless. What about an insurance company? An insurance company. So the general policy of insurance companies is they will pay out based on the secular court's decision. Take medical malpractice. Good example. Every doctor has medical malpractice, right? If he makes a mistake or he's accused of making a mistake, so the insurance company is going to pay for his mistake. And sometimes he's absorbent in sums and sometimes, you know, as the case may be. It's a shame. Reuven was hurt by a doctor. The doctor's name is Shimon. Can Reuven take Shimon to secular court so that his insurance company will pay the damages? Or must he take him to bezdin? Takes him to bezdin. Even if bezdin finds Shimon guilty, the doctor Shimon guilty, but the insurance will say, who are these clowns? I'm going to pay out $1 million based on a few clowns? Those who claim, since we all know that the insurance is going to pay, not the doctor, it's like it's taking a goyim with intern. The goyim is an insurance company. What will happen if the insurance company is willing to come to a bezin? Take his chances.
Who's the insurance company? And there's no one
Prudential.
There's no one person that's Prudential.
Yeah. They go up the chain of command. And the person on the case, the vice president.
And if everyone in the corporation is Jewish, then it's a Jewish corporation?
No, it's a Goyish corporation. The Goyish corporation is willing to come to a bezin instead of a secular court. And they'll take their lumps. That's a little chancy, right? They're not used to this. I had a case like this in my community. It was a situation where there was a physician in the community, and a particular patient took him to secular court. The physician cried foul. I didn't know anything wrong at all. It's just a scheme to get money out of me. Me, I wasn't going to go to a secular court. Right? The insurance company's always settled, because we can't afford to take a chance that you should file in the Bronx. There's a phrase called a Bronx jury, not jury, J-E-W-R-Y, jury, J-U-R-Y. Bronx juries are known to always be at the start of the underdog. Very often they're consisting of individuals who are not so wealthy, maybe from different social class, they always throw the book at everyone who has money, like Robin Hood, take from the rich, give to the poor. That's the general attitude of a Bronx jury. So no insurance company wants to take such a chance. They'll settle. If you settle, what happens? Two things happen to the doctor. Number one, it's on his record. With a settled case, not conscious. I don't say he's guilty, but doesn't look good. Number two, his premiums go up. This doctor said he was in practice for 40 years. No one ever sued him. He never had to pay a penny or not. Now his perfect records are being ruined by this Jewish guy. So he told the insurance company, I want to go to a bed. You're not going to believe it. The insurance company said yes. Why? Smart company. If they go to the Bronx jury here, they're cream. They'll have to settle for a lot of money. Go to a Bez, and the Bez will hear the case. They told the doctors tell the truth. He did nothing wrong whatsoever. And they'll win, wants to pay a penny. I hate him, that hair, who within that, at the end it didn't happen that way, but too bad. It was all the technicalities got involved, but that was the case I was involved in. If it's correct, the insurance company wants to go to Bez, and the plaintiff has no right to go to second court. Okay. Fine.
So, we just said you should do transfer from
ASI. Yeah. The person on record is Shimon, Dr. Shimon. Dr. Shimon has deep pockets protecting him, second court. But even if a goy, gomer, no, there's no doctor. Everyone's a goy. The guy wants to be judged in second in Bez, and they have to hear him too. So it's no worse than that.
And Jim can't take a break to
Akos? Pash does not. Now, whether the Bez will judge with Dina Yisrael or Dina Akos, that's a different question. But the Pash does say that, that's the end. Pash, that's true. Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Which of our Makar said that you have to bring a non invasive?
That's a good question. We haven't gotten to that. Great deal. It's not on your mind become the sheep. We'll get to it. It's an excellent question. Okay. Above side, now we're going to turn our attention as we proceed along. I'm trying to go in the order of the Sefer. It's called Seder Hadin. I'm going in his Seder so that everyone can be able to follow when you get over the Sefer to see what the things that we're talking about. Listen carefully. I found this unbelievable. I'm not sure what the Bar Ilan has over here. He quotes a tshuva of Maharal Miplatsk.
Yeah,
the Bar Ilan. Oh, yeah. Famous. They print all of his story. You know why?
Because it says on his kever or something.
Rav Fush Lind. Someone is sick. He promised on his kever, if you print my svarim, I'll intercede for Rav Fush Lind. That's the most popular thing to do.
Lame since.
You have it in Bar Ilan?
Like a
little boy. It's called Shut Maharal. Moharal. Hey, Rav Reish Aleph Lamed. Ask. Don't see it. Okay. Let's just read what it says over here. Listen carefully. I'm reading you this word. It's on page Tuf Samav Gimel. I'm incredulous. I'm reading it to you. It says over here. Bidvorim Sheposkim Api Dineim. E. F. Sholavara Dina. Matirin Lodun Etzla. The sentence is so mind-boggling. I'm shuddering as I'm just saying it to you. I'll translate. It matters that we rule based on their laws, secular laws. And if it's impossible for the Bezin to figure out what the secular law says, we allow them to have the case adjudicated in a secular court. This thing to me is mind-boggling. What do you mean you can't figure out what secular law says? Why not? So the Maharal Miplatsk says as follows. Even though we're going to ask what we call Toan and Melitzin, lawyers, on them call Melitz Machzik Tzad Shalom. Every lawyer says that his read of the secular law is correct. There's no alternative to have the case heard in a secular court. What? Get a neutral lawyer. Get a lawyer, a judge, someone who's not part of this discussion. You don't want to trust one, get three. And they'll tell you what the second law says. I don't understand the moral process at all. I don't understand what we're talking about. Yes, sir.
That's what the Akkadish are doing.
What do you mean?
Meaning, whatever your neutral lawyer is going to tell you is exactly what the Bez is going to do.
In other words, a neutral lawyer will tell the Bez, in this case, this way. You're not sure what he said, you ask another lawyer, so three lawyers, as many lawyers as you want to consult judges, but the case should be heard in the presence of the president. We can't let someone go to secular court.
But
the reason he says you're allowed to go is because it's impossible for Bezin to find out what the law is. What? Why is it impossible? Get a Bezin of three lawyers. Get three from lawyers. That's all Bezin.
But assuming his sincere is possible, whether you just can't figure out the secular law, then the Bezin just should understand.
Again, I'm not arguing with him based on his facts. If his facts are right, maybe he's right. But why can't the Bezin find out? I just don't understand what he's talking. I don't understand what he's talking. I low me in. Well, maybe. Now, to prove my point, he quotes Shut Mabit. This we do it. This probably is in our in Bar Ilan. Mabit.
Sure.
He quotes Mabit. It says, Yesh li shtadel levar etel bekiim b'chdei lechufa malbun b'din tov. Mabit says, you want to collect taxes from the various wares that are imported to the country. They used to go to the Goyish Accord and they're fighting about import export. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. No. If you have disputes, come to Beis Din. And he adds, for the day anoshim bekiim be'elu ha'inyonim v'yekaimu kol mash yadunu b'neim o yivshiru. Therefore, don't you dare go to secular court. They're taught smuggling and forging. Come to the Beis Din. And the Beis Din, if they don't know themselves, will include in their discussions, what do you call? One more time, Bekiim, experts in the field. That's exactly what we do in our Beis Din. We don't know, we get an expert in the field. He tells us what the law is in this particular case. And that's all. I think that's exactly what I don't know. It's in the army plots. I don't understand. Is it my bid is right? Okay. Going along, and so I already told you once before, I want to tell you again that he quotes from the Sefer Kesef HaKadoshim, but not in our Simon Chavov, but in Simon Ayin Hei, where he paskins, if a man comes to Beis Din, refuses to sign a piece of paper, which is called Shtar Compromise. Familiar word? We call it a Shtar word, lack of arbitration. He's a Masar. Because if he loses, he can wheedle out by saying, I never signed it. So the secular court cannot enforce it. He doesn't sign the piece of paper. It's very, very important Psak. He passed away in our Beis Din. Oh. Now, gentlemen, you mentioned earlier that some say you don't need three judges to allow you to go to secular court. It's enough to have one. One? One? Yeah. Echad shekiblu ladun k'mo mora da asra ova av bezdin v'chei nahog. That's the minik. That's unbelievable. How is that possible? How is that possible? How would they need three? Why you need three? Why you need three? For one of two reasons. One of three reasons. Either if the Vilna Gaon and the Chasam Sofer are right, go to secular court because it affects doing the work of the Beis Din that sent you to secular court, has to be a Beis Din. Maybe one person, the Beis Din. Number two, we will get to later, after this whole discussion, it's not part of our initial go through later, that there's cases in which if a plaintiff is forced to spend extra money, the defendant was trying to go to secular court, and the defendant loses, and you have to pay the expenses to the plaintiff as well. That you need a second, you need the best of three to be able to extract that money. One person can't extract any money. And finally, we started discussing a little bit, how can I keep money which is only coming to me in Jewish in secular law, not in Jewish law? We saw that the receiver says you can't keep the money. The mitigant says you can't keep the money. Why? One of the reasons was given, Hefker Beis Din Hefker. The original Beis Din that permitted you to go to the secular court, they say any money which you win, which you would not have won in Jewish law, it's yours, the Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Many say there's only one Beis Din that can allow you to go to secular court. That's the original Beis Din which sent out the Hazmana. Of course, the question becomes, what happens, we said before, if we know for a fact he's not going to come, you don't even need to bypass the Beis Din, go straight to secular court. Presumably, in that kind of a case, you don't need a Beis Din for this either. This idea, the opposing view, it's enough that one person, Mara the Astra. clear. At the top it says, it's enough of a Mor de Asra or an Av Bezdin. Who said so? The Mahar Sham. Yeah, choose Mahar Sham and Bar Ilan. The Mahar Sham is from the Sholem Malchus Shvadron, the grandfather of the Magid, his namesake. He never said Mor de Asra. He said Av Bezdin. Av Bezdin. I'm asking you a question. Is the average Mor de Asra have this power? I'll tell you two stories. We got a small crowd. I'll tell you some great stories. These stories have 20 years between them. The first story goes back to 1989-90. I became Rav. I was appointed as the Rav, believe it or not, in 1973. I was a Kota Brias Olympic. And I came in January of 74, moved in, and I made a resolution to myself. If there's going to be a woman who was, her husband said, I'm going to hold you in Aguna, use that word Aguna, I'm not going to remain silent. I was a youngster, you know, young people, young and bold and brash. I'm not going to, it goes on in the world around us. I can't do anything. I can't. My conscience doesn't allow me to allow the word Aguna to be used. And I should sit idly by. That was my resolution way back, 1973. It's good. So I led a charmed life for about 15 years. Do a couple of divorces. It's true. They were handled in secular court. No one wanted to come to me, not the husband, not the wife. They just took care of themselves. I mean, put it this way. No woman came to me and said, I'm being held in Aguna. Didn't happen to me once from all those years. My luck ran out in 1989. There was a particular case where there was a breakup of the marriage, and I happened to have been involved in trying to keep the marriage together at the beginning, and she said, I want out, and she had a legitimate reason, and he said, if you don't give me this, and this, you'll be an Aguna. To me, it was a defining moment. It's like a bull with a red flag in front of it. I just can't have this. So I said to the fellow, you have to give your wife a get. She asked for a get. She deserves the get. Give her the get. No. What did this fellow do? He saw that with me. I knew both sides of the story. I was involved. With me, he's not getting too far. So he did what most good Balabatim do. He went to the other rabbi. It was a young rabbi, Rabbi Rosenblatt, in the Bruno Jewish Center. He went to him. This fellow is an honest Jew. Most people in divorce fights don't tell the truth. He told the whole truth. And I give the man credit, based on his version of the truth, which was true, the rabbi told him, give the get. Now. Okay, two strikes. No problem. Went to Rabbi Weiss, the Hebrew student, and again, told him his story. Listened to him very carefully. He said, give again. Now, three strikes. There was only three shuls, called public shuls at the time. There was one little tiny little, you might call shul, which is mostly for retirees. It was not the social circle of this person. It was an honorable person in the community. So I remember that after Sukkot of that year, 1989, we told him. I discovered recently a letter which was written, I don't know if it was ever sent, but these three rabbis, he's not allowed to come into the synagogue. We're going to stop the services if he comes in, and he has to give his wife again. Okay. So, frankly, I was scared he's going to come. He didn't come. He wanted to be embarrassed, make a scene. He went to this little synagogue for retirees. And months went on. Months. After a few months, he had friends in the community, and he started, why is the rabbi being so strict? What's going on over here? In old Tumul. So this, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the only meeting I ever attended with the officers of my shul. I never go to meetings. There were the officers, like three, four, two got boy, And I think that would be, why are you being so strict with this fella? You know, he's a nice guy. He said, yeah, I know he's a nice guy, but I want things I can get. Yeah, but he told us this story. I said, all right, every story has two sides. I'm not discounting what he's saying. Then give his wife a get, and then they'll whatever they have in the father. No. Tell them this. I'll give you three choices. Either you convince him to give his wife a get, that's fine. If you don't like the way I'm handling this situation, which is, I'll be your Mora de Asra, I'll pass him a Shailas on Kashrus and Shabris and Taras and Mishpacha, and bring in somebody else. Let him be the Av Bezdin. He'll be the Av Bezdin. And he'll decide these kinds of matters of this nature. The third choice I tell them is, if you don't commit to the other guy, and you don't bring in another Av Bezdin, then I'm your Av Bezdin. I'm not going to have anarchy. They were quiet. Suffice to say, they couldn't convince him to give it again. Suffice it to say that they did not bring another Rav Bezdin. That's why you understood it to me. They pointed me as the Rav Bezdin. I understand. The story has an interesting continuation, which is not for now, but we'll have to get to it some part for later on. This story started, I told you it started before, but he was asked to leave the shul after Sukkot. And it went on the whole winter, 1990, the whole winter was going on. I think she was on a kitten that year. And I told the Tanina before Pesach, listen, Rabbi Sai, I'm involved in this mess. After Pesach, when it stopped learning Lumbus and Gitten, put together some practical matter, we have to figure out some kind of way to stop us from having it in the future. But the whole prenup started with this case. The whole prenup started then, right after Pesach. I put my mind to try all the various things which were proposed, and that, and a whole long tell that story, little, 20 stories in one day. Hashem was good to us. I started learning about this parasha, and maybe in that schus, and in Shemayim, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, he gave the gift. 2 weeks at the pace. We get the pace was over. You know, we only 1 week into our learning. Was it Thursday? He started shiur that Sunday, probably. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. After 5 shiur on this topic, he gave again. And you. Why? The secular court hearings came to an end. The judge was a very smart judge, well coached. Judge, I'm splitting your assets 50-50. If you give a get within the next 10 days, you get 55%. Tells the husband. Stroke of genius. Usually, the get is no good because they're penalizing. Husband, if he doesn't give again. Here, she rewarded him for giving again. Let's go again. Gave the get. Just to finish up this part of the story. That Shabbos came to my shul. Had been there since Sukkot. And I told the gabbai, he must give this person shlishi. He wasn't coming. I'll give him coin, but he wasn't shlishi. Gabbai tells me, Rabbi, I don't understand. For 6 months, he was persona non grata. Couldn't come to shul. I gave him a shlishi? I said, absolutely. Nothing against this guy. Fine Jew. He wasn't giving his wife a get, like I said. Three rabbis said he had a get, he couldn't come in. Now he gave the get, he deserves shlishi. Called him for shlishi. After Aliyah, some people come to the front to shake the rabbi's hand, some come, some don't come. I had to wait for him. I bolted to the Bima. As soon as he came off the Bima, I shook his hand. Now, he was not so but he's a gentleman, he shook my hand, and we're good friends. He remarried, she remarried, everyone's happy. That's how the whole prenup started. And once we were on that topic, that week, we went to the rest of the Zaman, and we'll discuss later how the prenup happened, and now there's this controversy about it, we'll discuss that too, Mr. Shem, one of these days, but not today. Fine. A few years later, I gave a drasha to Shul Shabbos Parshas Shoftim. The backdrop is Rabbi Bleich Shalita printed a piece of tradition, and it was entitled sure you can get them in the tradition online. You're able to get them in printed in one of his books, Contemporary Halachic Problems. Thank you, Sam. The Beis Din, an institution whose time has come. In other words, even though unfortunately not so many brought their din anymore, it's time to bring back a Beis Din, a community Beis Din. He has a whole solution for a national Beis Din, very grandiose plan, which I endorse wholeheartedly, except I think that it's utopian. Not happening. Okay. Too bad. Not a good idea. It won't happen. I said, I understand this is the ideal, to establish a Beis Din for the whole world, the whole nation. But that's utopian. But here, in our shul, I said, I was appointed as an Beis Din. I make reference to that meeting that I had with the officers in the Gabbayim. They didn't commit to the beginning. They didn't appoint another Beis Din. That was the only third choice. After davening, there's a tumult in the back. One of the persons who was not at that meeting, I have the minutes when does this appointment take place? He was never appointed Beis Din. What are you talking about? Self-appointment? What do you mean? There's a whole tara. Okay. I'm not interested in the titles. I was just trying to convince people that they have a monetary dispute should come to me. In the interim, there were certain monetary disputes involving people from my shul. And I used to get phone calls sometimes. He's going to secular court. I told the guy, you must go to Beis Din. And the people listened. And I made sure to go to a proper Beis Din. That story is 1990. 20 years later, it came home to me, that which I saw in the beginning, I'm no odd Beis Din. Oh no. What happened? The very high profile fight, two members of my shul. Nothing to do with Nagunas. Money. Pure money. Two people from the shul want to fight about money. I have no idea to this day who's right or who's wrong. I have no idea. And it's not my job to know who's right or who's wrong because they didn't bring the case to me. The plaintiff took it to a particular Beis Din in Brooklyn. Beis Din in Brooklyn, you have to watch out sometimes. There are different ways of operating. The defendant says, don't go to Beis Din? Let's go to the Beis Din of America. Oh, that's a Beis Din. The plaintiff said, I'm only going to go to court, to Beis Din, if the defendant puts the money in escrow. Defendant says, who ever heard of that? Beis Din keeps the money in escrow. As a general rule, it's no such thing. So, this thing was getting out of hand to the point that the Beis Din of America was ready to put a siruf on this individual who was going to this Beis Din in Brooklyn. Because he refused to come to any Beis Din, let the money put in escrow. So he was told, wait a minute, go to Beis Din. The first thing out of your mouth is, I want the money in escrow. And that Beis Din will decide whether the money should be in escrow or not. You can't unilaterally insist that the money be put in escrow based on what you think or what your quote borrower or Beis Din. That's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? So it was a big problem. And they both have me in my shul. So had I been the Beis Din in the shul, be no problem. I obviously was basically not that Beis Din in the shul. And even though the siruf was about to be sent out, I think it ultimately was sent out, but it's an interesting twist because the official party in the dispute was not the man who comes to shul every day, but his wife. His wife never comes to shul. So what are the consequences of a siruf for a person who doesn't come to shul? What do you do about it? So I consulted two great rabbis about what to do. One said, come on, what kind of joke is this? We all know it's the husband and wife's the same team. You can throw the guy out of shul too. The other one said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. But as far as the woman is concerned, who is technically speaking in Siruf, you can throw the book at her and make sure that the people don't invite her to their simchas. And he was much more powerful with respect to the wife, whereas the other guy was much more powerful with respect to the husband. They should be not let in shul. No, the husband you can't touch, the second rabbi said, but the wife, not only let her in shul, you can make announcements that no one should invite her to any, either to a house. I got two advisors from two different rabbis. I did nothing. I did neither. I did not throw the guy out of shul, nor did I make a tumult that the wife should be disinvited from most social functions. So I figured either one I'm going to do, it's not going to work, because I'm ain't no abez, you know, I see what's going on. No limitations. But I know exactly when this took place. It was 2010, exactly 20 years later. The fellow, his wife was in Siruf because it wouldn't come to the internal if the money was in escrow, started campaigning that was an incorrect decision, and he's going to make sure you know all the big rabbis and get them to overturn the decision. So I had to launch a sort of a preemptive strike. I was afraid it was going to happen. It's going to be a Zion. So I went through Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. Shlita those in always. I remember I was there for Sukkot. I was at a simcha in my family, so I knew exactly when I was there, 2010. And he was giving a shiur in one of the shuls. So I went to beat him in the shul. So what's the din in this case? Can a person refuse to come to the din Torah unless the defendant puts the money in escrow based on what he or his judge thinks should be put in escrow? He said, it's ridiculous. But can you put it in writing? Sure. Took a piece of paper. He wrote it up in a few lines of his handwriting. But this is crazy. You can't do that. Good. The next day, I went to visit Rabbi Usher Weiss, Shalita, famous Dayan in Yerushalayim. Told him, took the same piece of paper, wrote a few more lines. Then I figured, this is only in Yerushalayim. Why do I live in Hebron? That's the other center of halachic authority. So, this was the last day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. I was flying out that night, arriving on Shana Marab in the morning. I had no time to spare. I was just coming from the family get-together on the way to the airport, stopping in Bnei Brak. I had some little friends who got me in. The two of the most important Dayanim in Bnei Brak, who you can only have to wait online for who knows how long. One of them was a famous, maybe just mentioned his name before, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Shafran. He gave one of the haskamas to this beautiful Sefer Seder Adin. Another was Rabbi Yehuda Silman. It was also a famous name. I'm going to quote something from him a little later on. And they both also signed. So I have a letter, no one else has it but me, somewhere in my file, for the most eminent Dayanim in the whole world, who all signed that you just can't do this. And I'm ready in case it's a preemptive, this is my protection. The threat came to nothing. I did all this work for nothing. I mean, for nothing, but then they came to Kitzer, they were fighting, they made a settlement in court, the Kitzer. It's a whole mess. I learned that I'm not an abezin, because if a guy from shul could just flaunt whatever I was saying and just disregard me, basically, and saying there's a rabbi in Brooklyn is more important than you, so I'm not an abezin. I tried. The people in the shul did not back me. They said, you know, there no one's willing to do to take a stand in support of the rabbi, as opposed to this particular member of the community. So, life goes on. Okay, life goes on. When they settled in court, the first condition of the settlement was that the seer be lifted, which indicates two things. One, that although I'm not the Abezdin, the seer still meant something to the other side. Right. And two, that it's always worthwhile making compromises. The person who was aggrieved was very smart to compromise, and very smart not to insist that the seer be plastered all over the shul and that actual steps be taken against this particular lady. Always pays as much as possible to take the high road. Always compromise, always try to give in, always try to make whatever. Is it true of Rabbanim as well? I never insist that people take my side. I know in life, Some of the Rabbanim give people no choice. You're with me or against me. You're on my side or against my side. And there were those who came to me, what's going on over here? The guy says, the people are not following, not supporting the rabbi. I said, please, it's not worth it. Even if you win, you lose. It's going to make a whole World War III. Let it be. Even though it was not exactly appropriate, in my view. But you learn a life lesson when things do. That's my story from 1990. The event after which I appointed myself as the Abezin because they wouldn't take the other two alternatives. I didn't really take it that seriously. The guy was tumbling as soon as I said it. And it took me till 2010 to realize for sure I'm not an Abezin because the people don't, the people in the shul, they're not from what I have to say. So therefore, it seems to me, what it says in the Sefer, Sagi bi'echad shekiblu ladik mo mora da asra. Oh, Abezin. Abezin, yes. The mora da asra? No. Well, this is a formal appointment as an Abezin. It's not going to work. Now, of course, it could be a formal point. What should happen in real life is that there should be a piece of paper that the, this happened in Europe. It was a Ksav Rabbanus. The rabbi came into a town in Europe. Everyone signed the Ksav Rabbanus. We hereby appoint this man as a rabbi and our Bezdin, and then you are bound, you bond yourself. If there's any particular financial altercation within the community, this rabbi or his designee or designees will be the ones to make this decision. You can't run away to another town, another borough, and say, I want to go there. It doesn't work. But there was never a piece of paper signed appointing me, even as the rabbi, Kal v'chomer as the abbess. I don't have a contract. Still have no contract.
You don't have a contract?
No. Never did. And even if I had a contract, it would be signed by the president, the chairman of the board, not the whole shul. So, you could argue if there's some signatures to bind people, but not in law, not in American law, for sure not. You can make it binding in American law too. You have to speak arbitration lawyers. If you appoint, if 100 members of the shul, all 100 signed on the dotted line, we appoint the rabbi to be the final arbitrator he or his designees in any financial altercation between us in any matter, would that carry the day in secular court if an individual decides to opt out of it? Not so simple. I never got a clear answer from the arbitration lawyers at the time. It wasn't worth making a fight about it. Yeah?
Don't most employers do that, the same sort of thing when they hire an employee?
That's right. What do? They say any dispute between will go to X, Y, or Z. American Arbitration Association, for example.
That's what they do the same thing here. Right.
That's what I want to do. But they're employees, and they do say any dispute. Any dispute is sort of will be bound with the work. Let's say, for example, he signs that piece of paper. Okay? So the employee. Okay. The employee is walking, he slips in a banana peel, and it turns out that the actual employer lives. That's what's coming. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know what it is, what it's happening. I don't know what they're going to be fighting about. So it's not exactly the same thing. But you're right. That was the paradigm I was working on. Exactly. Anyway, it's one of those things. Anyway, listen to me carefully now. There are those who claim, even though it's only one person and not Bezdin, has the status of a Bezdin. We had learned last week before, that Hodah works only in front of three, Rambam, not in front of one. And tomorrow I put on my desk and be Iri and Bava Kama. Now, Peidalad, he's quoted as saying, look it up, that Hodah in front of one would also be a Hodah, and perhaps the Abezin is considered to be a Bezin all by himself. Now, where is a proof for this? On page Tav Samach Hei, I'm coming to the end of the shiur now, Tav Samach Hei, he quotes a fascinating inference. Take a look, we'll go back to our original source, the Beis Yosef, Darkei Moshe, and we'll end with this, okay? Please look. Darkei Moshe, gentlemen, Sifkoton Beis. It's on page Kuf Pei Zayin. We never got past this page today. Tomorrow's another day. We're going slow. Can you look inside, please? It's one line, literally one line. Kos of Marik Shorosh Aleph. The Ein Koach L'Shum Dayan. No judge has the ability. Lo Seis Koach. Lo Lechas Bar Kol Shel Goyim. Give someone permission to go to a secular court. Kozman Shanitba Rotolios Taizdin. as long as the defendant is willing to go to a bezin. Upashadu. Could be pashadu, not so pashad, like the deceivist is going to a different bezin. But look at the word. Singular. Lashum dayan. Singular. There's an implication over here that if the defendant refuses to go to any bezin whatsoever, even one dayan has the ability to give permission to go to secular court. It's an inference. Can you really make an inference? Maybe yes, maybe no. Bottom line, if you ask me, the answer is generally speaking no. You have to go to a bezin. It's important to all the Gedolei HaPoskim, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yoshe, Rav Ozner, Rav Havel and Chaim, Rav Nissen Karelitz, all seem to say exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. So we're going to stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll start discussing some all the very, very critical matters which pertain to these matters. And I'd like you to bring that only the last before the meeting, Rav Sternberg has to say. Shuvus van Hogus. Kehle Gimel. You bring it up on my desk tomorrow, so we'll be able to. Okay? We'll stop here.